Ramsey TV.
One of the great things about this show is that the information I'm dispensing to you is timeless. This is why it's so great that on Saturdays I can run the Zender Classic videos, and they're all classics in their own way, but the beauty is that the truth you hear, even though I may have recorded it 5, 6, 7 years ago, it's still applicable because the truth never ages. It is timeless. Contrast that with something like the newspaper. Who wants to read yesterday's newspaper? It's obsolete practically as soon as the ink dries. Not so with this show, with the truth. It's a great, it's a great industry to be in because, again, nothing gets stale. So this is why I hesitate always to mention current events, but I'm going to just briefly here, as I record this, it's February of 2020. I don't know if you follow politics like me. I follow it, and there's a man named Roger Stone who was in the news. He was indicted by the Mueller probe trying to frame Donald Trump. As you know, the entire story was made up that President Trump negotiated, commingled, colluded, conspired with the Russians to become president. Totally bogus. But Roger Stone got caught up in the middle of this, and he was indicted, and he was arrested in Fort Lauderdale last year, and he's in the news now because he's been sentenced for really crimes that are only crimes because they were involved in the probe. They're just absolutely nothing. It's many considered a travesty of justice. The sentence is out of proportion to the alleged crime. But anyway, Stone was an early supporter of Donald Trump. In fact, he was a confidant, a friend of Donald Trump's. And some say that he helped talk Trump into getting elected. He also knew Richard Nixon. He has a picture of Richard Nixon. He has Richard Nixon himself tattooed on his back. Roger Stone does. He's quite a flamboyant guy. And I don't know if you saw in the news last year, his arrest in Fort Lauderdale was nuts. I mean, I've run past his house on the canal over there, just over the intercoastal bridge on Las Olas Boulevard. And CNN was there, and it was a giant Russian communist-style arrest, a totalitarian arrest, central government commie style, FBI agents by the dozen pointing guns at him, dragging this poor 67-year-old guy out of his house. Doesn't even have a passport, this guy. They had frogmen in the canal behind his house. They had helicopters, SWAT teams. It was absolutely un-freaking-leavable. Anyway, I was walking through. No, I was driving. Last May, was it, or something. And there he is on Las Olas Boulevard, standing on the corner. I go, there's Roger Trump. There's Roger Stone. Oh, my God. I pulled off into a side road, parked illegally somewhere, ran out. I said, there's a patriot. Anyway, I took a picture of me and him. There he is, showing you now Martin Zender with Roger Stone. For those of you who know who he is, you'll be impressed. Those of you who don't, you won't care. And you'll say, get on to the scriptures, Zender, please. Okay, I'm going to do that right now. So thank God that in his mercy and, oh, by the way, remember I told you, gasoline is going to go down to $1 a gallon. We might not be here when it happens. It's probably going to happen early in Trump's second term. But I predicted this conservative takeover for 10 years. Those of you who have been with me in my newsletter and my shows, you know that I predicted this because it's part of the end time, the last years of Millennium 6 deception. And yeah, the good guys are going to have to be co-opted. The good guys, not the bad guys. Enough of that now. 1 Corinthians 15, thank God that our Lord was seen by many people after he was raised from the dead. This is important to our faith. It's not that we have faith in nothing. People are confused by that because Hebrews 11:1 says, you know, faith is an assurance of things which are not being observed. It's not an assurance of things which don't exist. It's not an assurance of things which didn't happen. It's just an assurance concerning things that you didn't see. But people by that think that you're believing in nothing. Well, we're poor people, us Christians or us believers, because we believe in nothing. We believe in all kinds of stuff that maybe it's wispy, maybe it's vaporous. No, it's actually solid. We believe in solid stuff. We just didn't happen to see it. But other people did. Other people saw it. Lots of people saw Christ. And so God makes sure that he, to help our faith, he puts eyewitnesses in the scripture. Paul names them 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. He was, that also includes the scriptures Paul is writing. He died, was entombed, he has been roused the third day, yes, and that he was seen by Cephas. I don't know why he names Cephas first, because he was seen by Mary Magdalene. I guess she doesn't count. I don't know. I would have named her first if it was me writing, but it's not me. I don't know. He was seen by Cephas, thereupon by the 12. Christ came back first to his friends and his dearest friend, Mary Magdalene, his dearest friend. He appears to her first. She's the colorful woman, shall we say, of ill repute among the Jerusalem religious elite, and yet she was the first one to see our resurrected Lord. I love it. It all fits in with the last shall be first, doesn't it? Cephas. Thereupon by the 12, thereupon he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. I don't know how he worked that, but he was seen by 500 at once. I used to think, you know, he was seen by maybe a dozen on Monday, three dozen on Tuesday, maybe 110 on Wednesday. No, somehow he got 500 people together and they all saw him at once. He wanted lots of witnesses, and it was 500 people, not 501. There's significance to that number. I just don't know what it is. Of whom the majority are remaining hitherto. Paul says a lot of them are alive. As Paul was writing, a lot of them were still alive, those who had saw Jesus Christ. So any one of the Corinthians could write Paul and say, can you give me names, addresses? Do you have email addresses? Do you have phone numbers? I want to contact some of these people. Because there were some Thomases among the Corinthians who wanted to talk to somebody who had actually seen Jesus Christ, eyewitness account. But as I said, faith, even faith one person removed, is still faith. These people still had to have faith, even though they were alive and they could literally talk to someone who had seen Jesus Christ. Yet some of them didn't get to that person, never knew one of those people. So even they, first century believers, had to have faith. So we're in good company. We're in good company. Faith is not that outrageous of a thing. It's not that crazy. Faith is sometimes thought to be crazy. If people are crazy, you believe in stuff you don't see. You know, everybody believes in stuff every day that they don't see. Many people have not seen China, but they believe it's there. They believe it's there. They haven't seen it. I saw it in news reports. I saw people with eyes like this. It must be China. And they talk funny. It must exist. You haven't seen it, have you? Okay, that's faith. See, the government could be faking that there's a China. This fits in perfectly with the conspiracy viewers in my audience who think that the government was behind 9/11 and that we never landed on the moon, that the earth is flat. I don't think China, this is my conspiracy, China doesn't really exist. It's all a government-constructed country to get us to fight against it. It's just, yeah. All the newsreels you see, you know, people are having their eyes taped up to make you think. Yeah, it's all government plot. Don't worry about it. Thereupon he was seen by James, thereafter by all the apostles. And this here's interesting. Yet, last of all, this is what threw me off for a second. It's like the Grinch coming down the chimney at Christmas. Remember that, to steal Christmas from the Who's in Whoville? He's coming down the chimney. And he gets stuck for a second. And for those of you with claustrophobia, I have a touch of it myself. You see the Grinch getting stuck and you panic. He starts coming down and he turns kind of upside down. Then he quickly rights himself. Thank God. It's like, whew. Then he gets down the chimney and steals Christmas from the Who's down in Whoville. Specifically Cindy Lou Who, who is not more than two. Well, this was me when I came up to this. As if by premature birth, I got stuck for a second here. That's what Paul says, last of all, even as if a premature birth, he was seen by me also. So this seemed inconsistent to me. I didn't understand where Paul says last of all, and then he says premature birth. Last is, of course, he was seen by all these people. He was even after the 500, wasn't even worthy to be considered for the 500, because when Jesus was seen in the 40 days following his resurrection by the 500, Paul was still Saul the Pharisee, a complete asshole, a self-righteous nincompoop still. So even if he had seen him, he wouldn't have cared. And he would have thought it was an apparition, a government plot. He would have thought that the government probably constructed a hologram of the resurrected Jesus. His apostles got together, made a hologram, and then they circulated the rumor that Jesus was alive, but it was really a hologram. And they worked in conjunction with the CIA and the Bilderberg Group and the Illuminati. And so they created the hologram Jesus. That's what Paul would have thought. That's what Saul would have thought had he have seen him before Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. But fortunately, Christ himself did appear to him on the road to Damascus. And why is he called one of premature birth? I think the key word there is mature. Because think of this, and this speaks to our walk, our, shall I say, acceptance by Christ and our special place as members of the body of Christ. All these other people who had seen Christ, even the 500, I think he didn't appear to 500 random people. He appeared to people who would be awestruck at seeing him. I think he appeared to some of the people who had followed him on earth, but who sissied out, wussied out, checked out after he started saying outrageous things like, eat my flesh, things like that. And so he lost lots of followers. These are some of the people who had partaken of the feast on the mountain, saw the loaves and fishes duplicated, got their little bellies full, but then after things got hot, started talking about his crucifixion. They didn't want any part of it. I think it was some of these people he came to. And I think this really fits in. Now that I think about it, this is beautiful. This fits in with my suggestion to you that we will come back to those who in this life didn't understand us, dissed us, marginalized us, cursed at us, thought we were nuts, even our own family members. We'll come back to them and say, how do you like me now? So what purpose would it be for Jesus Christ to appear to people? This is what I ask you. What purpose would it be for Jesus Christ to come back from the dead and appear to 500 people who never even heard of him? It doesn't say where he encountered the 500 people. Do you suppose he went to South Africa? Do you suppose he went to Chicago or Greenland? Do you suppose he went to the Nullarbor Plain in Australia? No, he went to people who knew him in this life, and he could stun them. He wanted to stun people. It's like, how do you like me now? So it only makes sense that he would go to people who probably had walked away from him. And he comes up to them having been resurrected and says, how do you like me now? Because they all heard the news that he was crucified. Some of them probably were some of the ones standing there at the Praetorium saying, crucify him, you stupid idiots. Who shall I release for you, Barabbas or Jesus? Release Barabbas, you stupid morons. So Jesus Christ has mercy on some of the Jews who were saying, crucify him, has mercy on them. Probably applies to them what he said concerning the priests. Well, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. For all I know, he's not only talking to the priests there, he's talking to the idiots who are at the Praetorium on Wednesday morning, whatever. Crucify him, release Barabbas. Oh, God, what mercy for him to appear to those people. Some of those people, it makes no sense if he appears to somebody who doesn't even know who he is. Jesus Christ walks up to him post-resurrection and says, what do you think of me now? What do you mean, what do I think of you now? Who are you? Who are you? It makes no sense whatsoever. So those 500, that to me is a confirmation of a suggestion that there's no sense for us to come back to earth after we've been snatched away during the tribulation and appear to people we had never met on this earth. How do you like me now? Some say, well, you don't have any proof that we're going to come down to the earth and appear at all. That's true. But again, my strongest indication that that will happen is the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came back while these other people were alive, while they're in a fix, while they're in a strait, while they're struggling to make sense of everything. He comes back to these people, his disciples, his beloved Mary, James, the apostles, the 12. He comes back to them. Why? Because they're the ones who knew him. They're the ones who are now going, what happened? And so he's helping them by appearing to them. Why wouldn't they need physical affirmation? Because that's what they were looking for before. These people are weaned on physical evidence. They want to see it. The Jews are always looking for a sign. So Christ in his mercy shows them a sign. How's this for a sign? Boing, shows up with a prince in his hands and his side, and probably does some parlor tricks. Maybe appears, disappears. How do you like me now? Maybe he levitates. I'm not joking whatsoever. Why would not he levitate in front of them? Maybe 3 or 4 inches off the ground. This is the same one who fed them with loaves and fishes. Maybe they didn't even know it was a miracle. I don't know. Well, he raised people from the dead. He made the lame walk. People saw him, and his fame spread far and wide. Why do you think his fame spread far and wide in Israel? Because they're looking for signs. They're looking for miracles. There's something to latch onto because they're a physical people. And so God, in his mercy, sent his son. All right, we'll give him some miracles. Levitate for him. Show him your wounds. You know, show him the newspaper clipping about your crucifixion. So, of course, he would have known, even the 500 would have known them before. And now he's blowing their minds. How do you like me now? A little levitation, a little demonstration. Maybe he's pulling fish out of the ground. I don't know. Something great. So this is what we will do also. We will go to those who are in a really bad strait, worse than the 500 are, because they're still on the freaking earth. They're still living among the generation, and they're under the jurisdiction of a priesthood that crucified their own Messiah. What a bunch of idiots. Wait a minute. Now, yeah, the people who crucified him are idiots, but again, some of these people were the crucify him idiots. Part of the mob mentality. That's the mob mentality. We know all Christianity today, including your relatives, your loved ones, your family members, they're all of the mob mentality. They don't know it. It's a cleaner mob today. It's a neater mob, but they're all part of a mob mentality. None of them are independent thinkers. None of them. Thereupon, he was seen by... back to the premature birth. So, how did I get off of that topic? How did that happen? Anybody know? I'll have to rewind this, find out what happened. So I think that all these people, all these other people who witnessed him knew him. But Paul didn't. So when Peter saw Christ, I know him. Yeah, there he is. That's Jesus Christ. That's the guy that called me out to walk on the water. That's the one who said such wonderful things. That's the one who asked me who I think he is. And I said, you're Christ. You're the Messiah, Son of the living God. And he said, and he predicted that I would deny him. Yeah, I know him. So it was a confirmation. So he didn't come to somebody. It wasn't like premature for Peter to see Christ. It wasn't premature because Peter was primed to see him. This guy even heard his declaration that he would raise from the dead. It was somewhere in the back of his stupid fisherman brain. Somewhere in the back there. Certainly wasn't in the frontal lobe anywhere. But Paul was premature, not saying the disciples were mature in the faith when they were with Christ. I'm just saying they were mature in the sense that they were experienced in being with Jesus Christ. They were experienced in hearing his gracious words. They were experienced in a familiarity, even if it's in the back of their head, down there by the medulla oblongata, a familiarity with his teachings and relating his teachings to the Abrahamic covenant, the law, the legislature, the divine service, which they knew well. But this Saul on the road to Damascus knew nothing of that, knew nothing of Christ. So he sees Christ. So yet last of all, even as a premature birth. I think what he means by that is he was born into it. He came into it before, not only before he was mature, before he knew anything about the, quote, movement, the Jesus movement, unquote, before he knew anything about it, he was brought in on it like cold, prematurely, before he had experience, before he had knowledge, before he even knew the elemental aspects of the whole thing. So in that way, he's premature. In other words, he gets everything before he has begun to mature. And it's the same with us. And I'll end with this for the week. If you're like me, some of you lament, like, oh, well, why aren't I maturing in Christ fast enough? Well, you're maturing at exactly the speed you should be. I'm not coming along like I think I should. By the time the snatching away gets here, I should be like at this level of maturity, this level of spiritual attainment, this level of peace, this level of joy. I should be there. Why am I not where I want to be? Yeah, the key is where you want to be. It's because, like Paul, you are as if a premature birth, because you have come into the riches of Christ and the depths, the height, the breadth of Christ before you even did anything. Before, go back to Jacob and Esau, before any one of them had put anything into practice, good or bad, God said, I choose you. So before any of us could even hope to become mature, before the first sprig of maturity came out of the soil of revelation, we were gifted, graced with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. So when I read here that Paul considered himself the last to see Christ, even as premature birth, oh, and consider this, he doesn't see him as the Jew in the carpenter suit, or the carpenter in the Jew suit. He doesn't see him as the terrestrial Christ. So this thing is just grace upon grace upon grace. Christ doesn't show up to Saul, this guy who hasn't even heard anything about it. He doesn't show up to him in his Jew suit. He doesn't show up to him as the in his physical frame with all the cross wounds on him, or the spear wounds on him, the nail wounds. No, he shows up to Saul as a light brighter than the sun. And this to one, this is what Paul means. This is what he means when he says as one premature. Paul is saying, I never should have seen him. I never should have seen him. I was not, when he says that coming up here, I would never, this confirms my interpretation here. For I am the least of the apostles who am not competent. Oh, I want to get into this word competent. I got a lot to say about this, but I can't do it until Monday. I have to end this show. I'm not even competent to be called an apostle because I persecute the ecclesia of God. So this guy was persecuting the ecclesia of God, and he has no experience whatsoever. He never hear a whisper of a word of knowledge or truth while Jesus Christ was walking the earth. And yet Jesus Christ appears to this one and shows him a body that is so glorious, so beautiful, that he is so astounded by it, so overwhelms him, he falls to the ground blinded. And this guy gets everything loaded on him at once, or close to it. And he has way all of us, from the first second Saul is apprehended, he has more than the circumcision got after being with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. More. He's way ahead of them already. He's at the head of the class on day one, hell, on minute one, even as he's lying on the ground, surrounded by the glory, feeling the heat, listening to the voice. And this is a perfect picture of you and me.